Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." These are important words. In fact, I go as far as to say that these words coming out of the 21st chapter of John's Gospel might be the words that should define our lives. "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Now, this little phrase can be intimidating. Way back in the mid-90s, I was been ordained about 18 months, and I got called to a new parish. This was down in Western North Carolina. I got called to a parish in Hickory, North Carolina. And I had previously served a church with four priests on staff. I didn't preach that often. So by the time I got to St. Albans, I may have given 15 or 20 sermons in my life. I don't know. Let's just say I was still getting my feet wet. And I'm always nervous when I preach. I'm nervous right now. But 20 years ago, a lot more so. And what was intimidating is coming up to the pulpit of this church, there was this little brass plaque, an inscription, that was up high enough that you could see it over your notes. And it said in the King James translation, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And that is a powerful thing to remind a preacher of week in and week out, and an important thing. Strong words. It is the task of the preacher, but my friends, it is your task as well. Now, next Sunday, we're going to remember Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem when we keep Palm Sunday. This morning's reading from John's Gospel skips ahead of that. Jesus has arrived into Jerusalem for the last time. That is, he's arrived to Jerusalem to die. And that's where we pick up. It's the festival of the Passover. There have been thousands of Jews there to keep the feast. And out of that crowd, John tells us, comes some Greeks. And they make that request, "Sir, we would see Jesus." There is some debate among scholars as to exactly who these Greeks were, whether they had a connection to Judaism or not, whether they had kind of wandered away, or if they had just come to ask questions out of curiosity. But the important thing is that they were not followers of Jesus. They came to see. I said earlier that I think these words should define our lives. In order to do that, we need to strive to be on both sides of this plea. If someone came to you and asked you to see Jesus, what would you do? How would you respond? That's a little harder for us than it was to those first disciples, because we know that Jesus has ascended to heaven, and they had Jesus there nearby somewhere. So that starts out a little easier, but still they really didn't know what they should do. They came to Philip. "Sir, we would see Jesus. We wish to see Jesus." And we don't know what Philip says to him. John doesn't tell us. But we know that Philip goes to Andrew. So he was looking for some help here. Andrew wasn't sure, so he and Philip both went to Jesus. And that must have worked. Jesus started preaching and started talking about how the end was to come, how his end was to come. Still, I think a lot of people out there might have the same question, even if they do not walk up to you and ask you to show them Jesus. So how do you show them Jesus? I think you all know the answer. Be Jesus. Be Jesus in the world. In your life and in your work, be Jesus to those around you. There are, after all, several places in Paul's letters where he describes the church as the body of Christ, that is, those of us gathered here today as the body. In fact, in the letter, one of his letters to the Corinthians, he says that you are the church and individually members of it. So each of us represents the body of Christ. And we are called as Christians and members of a church to be Jesus for the world around us. And we do a noble effort. I know that just yesterday, while workday was going on in the morning, a woman came by who was in really desperate need. And there was not a sense right away of how to help. But there were people here who did help and who managed to get her some giant store cart so she could at least get some groceries. This is the church at its best, helping a stranger in need who wanders up and needs help. But if these words are going to define us, we must also see ourselves on the other side. We must constantly be seeking Jesus. We must also be the ones who are looking for Jesus. We cannot give to others what we do not have. Whether or not we're conscious of it, I think it's what keeps many of us coming to church. We want to see Jesus. There are surveys out there to identify the reasons people go to church. Some of them will go for their friends. Some go because they love the music. Some choose their church for the preaching. Some like the good sound system so they can hear well. A lot of people go to church for the beautiful building. Certainly, we've had people in here who say, you know, I've been driving by that building for 15 years, and it's just so pretty, I'm going to stop in. Some go for good programming. Others go to their church because there are important people who go there. Some go for comfort when they're hurting. Some people even go for the theology. In our case, for example, the ordination of women has drawn people in over the years. But I think at the base of it, it's all connected to our longing to see Jesus. And we should find him there. After all, Jesus tells us that he promised to be there in the Word and the sacraments. We should find Jesus here. But to go further, remember what Jesus says in Matthew 25. He says that every time we feed somebody who is hungry, or give drink to somebody who is thirsty, or give clothing to somebody who has none, or every time we visit the sick, or welcome a stranger, or visit somebody in prison, as we do this, we do it for Jesus. We serve Jesus in these people. And we find Jesus as we serve. As we seek Jesus and we serve, we find Jesus. And our baptismal covenant demands as much. Will you seek Christ in all people, loving your neighbor as yourself? And the answer is, I will, with God's help, to seek and serve Christ in the people around you. I want to tell you about a time that I was aware of the abundance of God's presence and this play between seeking Jesus and being Jesus. I was on a trip to Jamaica. This was not a trip to a resort. This was a trip with the youth of this church to an impoverished section of Jamaica, which is mostly island. And this was on their pilgrimage as they were seeking a mature relationship with God to build some foundation. And there are a lot of things we did while we were there. While we were there, we went to a place called West Haven Children's Home. This is not so much a home as a small, I'm going to use the word campus, but that sounds more official than it really was. It was kind of a collection of buildings that were all in need of repair. And in these buildings, the people, the caregivers, looked after people who are in real trouble, children between around 3 years old and mid-20s. These were people who had profound handicaps, that their family could not deal with them. It was either something developmental, or in many cases of severe physical handicap, people who could not stretch out. They were huddled up and they needed desperate help. And the way these residents got there is that they would be dropped off, just dropped off. And this home was not supported by the state. It depended on people's generosity, both for finances and, to a certain respect, for the workers as well, although there were full-time employed people there. But we spent a day there, and I did get two senses of where Jesus was. First, I saw Jesus in the St. Mark's contingency, in the youth and the adults alike. I saw Jesus in our youth feeding the children who could not even pick up a spoon. I saw Jesus in our children, in our youth, who were helping children to get dressed, or in one case, to get dressed and redressed and redressed. It was about a five-year-old boy who was still in diapers who took off his clothes every time they put them on. And our kids kept up with them, and they made them laugh, and they kept them clothed. I saw Jesus in others of our youth who were playing with a ball, with a few who were sufficiently able to play with a ball. I saw Jesus in our youth who were sitting next to a child in need, listening to music on the radio, because that's what this child wanted to do. The children in that home did not give evidence to me of the mental or physical capacity to ask to see Jesus, but they saw Jesus nonetheless. Now, I also saw Jesus where I believe our youth were seeing Jesus, and that was in those they served. As our parishioners serve those in need, they serve Jesus, and they saw Jesus. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. If we are to allow that phrase, to invite that phrase to define our lives, we must embrace it from both sides. We must constantly ask to see Jesus, and we must show Jesus to others. In the end, we see Jesus when we seek God's love, and we show someone Jesus when we are God's love to the world. Amen.